may not know the specifics of the will of God, but you can always say this. Whatever God's will is in a circumstance, it's going to be good, acceptable, and perfect. What will he say? God's will is to never cause harm. Or let me put it differently. God will never cause harm as part of his will. That doesn't mean that harm doesn't happen. We have choices in the matter. But God does not wish harm on anyone. God's will is always good. Why does God hate it? Because it hurts the beloved of God. That's why it's sad. That's why it's sad. It robs you of what could be yours. You know, one of the thoughts behind being involved with sin of any kind is, if I don't do this, God's not going to give it to me any other way. There's no other way for me to get this satisfaction, this comfort, this money, this whatever. There's no other way. And we are saying something about God as we get involved. We're saying God will not give me this. God will not do this. God will not grant me this. I have to take care of this. What is so bad about sin? Or let me show the question. Why should you live as a Christian? For one reason. Why should it be our goal to live the way God wants us to? Because God's will for us is life and life abundantly. And that's how it works out. God has one agenda for you. And I don't care where you're at in terms of whether you accept some of the things I'm saying about sin or not. God has one agenda for you. Life and life abundantly. That's what is on his agenda for you. So when he's sitting there thinking about Titus, and please, I have to be very careful there. I sometimes make it sound like God is just like a man, sitting there thinking about things, as if he ever has to do anything. But I'm trying to paint a picture. I'm trying to make it something that we can relate to. When God is thinking about Titus, he's got one thing on the agenda. Regardless of all the other things that need to be fixed, he's got one thing that motivates him. I want him to have life and have it all. That's his entire, all his plans revolve around. Concerning me, don't get me wrong, I'm not the center of the universe. Every plan on the in the universe has not got to do with me and having life abundantly. I'm a speck in the face of the cosmos. So please, let's not get carried away here and think that the only thing that God thinks about is you and me. That's not true. But when it comes to me or you, yes, one thing will be his love. Why should we live? Why should we seek to live in a manner worthy of the Lord? Why? Because it is the way by which the good that God wants to be done to you can be done to you. That's why. You know, even though we have been forgiven of all of our sins, if you believe in Jesus, what does it mean to be a Christian, first of all? Well, it actually starts by simply believing what Jesus did, the message concerning that he had to come to pay the price that we could never have paid. For all the things we did wrong, there was a price to be paid. And Jesus came to pay with his life. And by believing, God puts into our account, as it were, what Jesus is worth. Wiping away what should have happened to us. Instead of us going to hell, instead of us being dominated by darkness, it transfers us into the kingdom of God. It starts by believing. But that's where it starts. That's what I mean. That's who I'm saying should live as a Christian. If you haven't believed in the Lord, it is impossible for you to live as a Christian. You need a new life, the life of God in you. But having believed, why should we continue it? Because sin is still going to harm us, and God wants life. Okay? So that's why we should be concerned about how am I living. Right? God's genuine plan for you. Life and life abundantly. So then the question is, how do you live? How do you live the good life? I don't mean the good life in the sense of you have a villa in Hawaii. I mean the good life in the sense of how do you live well, in a way that pleases God, in a way that allows somebody is broken and they can't see a way out of their life, and so they're thinking about suicide, God wants you to be the person who lifts that person up from the mire of the bed. More accurately, He wants to be the person who works through you, but He needs someone to work through. You're not called to stuff that any human being can do. You're called to be the process. So trying real hard is not going to get you. Besides which, have you ever been in a situation where you knew we're facing is living as that new creature. In other words, the DNA change, the engineering change that had to happen, God already did. Now it's our part to live on that. How does that happen? It only happens by being friends with God. That's what God is putting upon you. Be my friend, is what God is saying. That's it. Now, of course, how does that happen? Well, that involves His Word, taking up what He says. It involves fellowship with the believers through which, you know, He can give you things and help you with things and help you to bear your burdens. We're almost done. This is actually the last slide. The more you know what He's like and what He likes, the less you will do what this world says. And this is what is getting, this is one of the core messages of Colossians. He Himself says this. Not all the stuff that we can learn, but He Himself is how we are lifted up from being an angry person who just loses their temper. He Himself is how we are carried out of depression. He Himself is the one who takes us away from the stuff that the world says is okay and will only actually hurt us and begin to choose Him. If the members of this church are not more in love with Jesus at the end of this year, and at the beginning, you fail. Hey, I don't care. Well, I do care how many people get saved. I don't care how shiny your life looks at the end of the year and at the beginning. If we're not more in love with Him, and I mean everybody, from my little boy Noah, who's the youngest person in this church until she tells baby is born, to whoever's the